Amen. We're glad you're here this morning. We pray that God will bless you from the message and from His Spirit, that He might speak to our hearts and draw us ever more closer to Him. What a week we've had. I am grateful that God's grace is sufficient, aren't you? It's sufficient for everything that we need, everything that we face. I'm just looking forward to that day when there is no more sin and we are living in His presence because of the grace of God. What a privilege. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Turn with me to the book of Matthew again as we're walking through the Beatitudes. All right, we're going to be focusing on just one, really, but we're going to read all of the whole section of that particular scripture. So take your Bibles, chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse number 1, go through 12. I guess that's the way we've got it set up on the screen, I guess, right, Cheyenne? All right, let's stand as we honor God's Word. Are you glad you're in the house of the Lord? Amen. Are you glad that you have the Word of God in your hand? Amen. Isn't that a blessing? May God take His Word, manifest it, make it alive into our hearts today. And seeing the multitudes, He, being Jesus, went up into the mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for His righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you that men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for all that you do every single moment. We pray you'd take the Word of God and make it alive in our hearts today. May you speak from the pages of this precious holy book that we hold before us. And I pray that we might understand there is the blessings of walking in Christ. There is the blessing of walking in the Spirit. There's that blessing of walking in the light of God. Father, we just give this morning to you. I pray there's one here lost and undone, does not know today for sure whether they're born of God or not. I pray today that faith might come to them. I pray that as we bring this message, Lord, no matter what the message is on, I pray, Lord, that you would take it and open their hearts that they would be receptive. Show them who Jesus is, that they might by faith today be born into the kingdom of God. We are grateful for all that you do. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You can be seated. We're going to focus on one particular verse today, and that verse is just simply verse number 6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. Well, I don't know about you guys. You can tell I've done a lot of hungering and thirsting, can't you? I mean, I'm not a small guy, so I've done a lot of hungering. But this hunger we're going to talk about today is a very special kind of hunger. It's a hunger that can be filled if we go to the right table. Amen? It's a blessing for us that the Bible says here that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I believe our nation has lost a desire for righteousness, don't you? There's sin on every hand. Matter of fact, did you know that today there's not a single solitary second of time? Not a, what is it called, a nanosecond or whatever, ninosecond, whatever they call that word. Not a single portion of a second are any of us ever worthy of entering heaven. There's no point in our life that we can say, well, I can make it right here. So there's something within us that is not capable within itself to meet those standards that God has. His holiness, His righteousness, His glory. And there's something about us that misses that mark every single second of the day. We are all sinners. And if we go to the place where we say we're not, we've got ourselves so deceived. Because never is there a time when I could look at God and say, listen, Lord, now is the time that I could enter heaven on my own merit. No. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is righteousness? It is the rightness of God. It is doing what is right according to the morals of God, the holy standards of God, the loving care of God, all those things that God is in His attributes. It's what we have to meet to be absolutely worthy of heaven. And I can tell you, we can none of us meet those things. Whenever we love, we cannot love like God loves, because God has a perfect, unchanging, everlasting love that we can experience from Him, and we can get to the place by the Spirit of God, not on our own, where we can love in the same way. So there's something that we have to look at, that there is something about righteousness that we should desire. Now, I can tell you right now, sinners do not desire righteousness. Those that have never trusted Christ has no desire for righteousness. Those who have never had an experience with God and come by faith, believing in Jesus Christ, they have never hungered for righteousness. They've never been righteous. None of us have ever been there. The Bible says very clearly in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our nation exalted the Lord? Amen? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see the righteousness of God as a nation and desire that we are like that? It would be wonderful. But see, that's not the way it is. And except God is put first in the life of the people, the nation cannot be righteous. We are who we are. But as a Christian nation, supposedly Christian nation, our aim in life is to be filled, should be our spiritual bellies of our spirit should be filled, and the thirst of our spirit should be quenched, because God has will exalt the nation, that righteousness prevails. But the Bible says that sin is a reproach against any people. So we have to look and we have to focus on something really important. It is sobering even to think for a moment that we can examine our own lives and see where we stand. Most of the time, the way we are truly is that we think a lot of times as people that we're good as anyone. And we are. There's not anyone that I know of on the face of the earth that is not as good as the other when it comes to righteousness. Everyone is the same. We ride the same horse. And that horse that we ride is a horse of judgment. So here this morning, I want us to look at this. Jesus in John 6:35 said this, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall never hunger. Are you hungering? Jesus said out of his own mouth, those that come to me will never hunger, because I am the bread of life. And they that believe in me will never thirst. What a statement. And too many times we as humans, we as people, even who is supposed to be children of God, there is no hunger there. There is no thirst there, because you know why? Because we're filling ourselves with all the things of the world and we're missing out on the only thing that counts, that is the spiritual well-being of our soul. And that is so important. We have to be like medical professionals of our own hearts here, in our own being, our own souls, if you would, that we can examine ourselves. There's some things I think about a spirit-filled believer. They know their sins have been forgiven. And they know the only way that could have happened is that someone had to pay the price. The Bible says that we are His children and we are a new creation created after Christ Jesus. So we cannot walk in sin and declare ourselves to be holy. But a spirit-filled person knows that their sins have been forgiven. And they know that their sins have been forgiven and we have no righteousness of our own. Nothing we do is right when it comes into making us worthy of anything that God gives us. Nothing. He's done all of that Himself. And we understand as spirit-filled believers that Christ, it is His righteousness that makes us worthy, because we have no righteousness of our own. A spirit-filled Christian, spirit-filled believer understands that when Christ died on the cross and our sins was put on Him, that God imputed to us the righteousness of God through Christ. We only write because of Christ. He's the only answer to all the issues of life. He's the answer for today as well. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No greater name I know. No greater name has ever been given. And the Bible says that one day, that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He's Lord. He's righteous. And we are the beneficiaries of that. Christ has been made wisdom for us, righteousness for us. He is our sanctification. Christ is every single thing that we need. And I can tell you this, if you're hungering for that inner individual, who you are, that inner being, if you still have a hungering, it's because you've never ate the bread of life. If you're thirsting, you never drank of the water of life. And they are those who today who name themselves as Christians, but yet they are still hungering and they're still thirsting. Now, I don't guess that was a proper word right here, thirsting. Just thirsting, okay? I don't know what, tongue got tied up there. When a believer that's been born of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, when that person walking and they're not hungry for anything other than Jesus, and they're not thirsty for anything but Jesus, nothing of this world are they longing for, that person, something dramatic has happened to them. God has showed Himself faithful to them. God is faithful to us. And listen, those who know Him and don't hunger anymore, they have all the characteristics of Christ, there's some things they do. They serve Him. And they will serve anywhere they can because they want to do what God has asked them to do. It don't matter if it's a glorious place or not. They're willing to serve. They're willing to do anything within the body of Christ because we want to be the functioning body of Christ living in this world so the world can see that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. Blessed are they that hunger. those that long for him, those whose greatest desire is to be like him, those whose great desire is to serve him. And I tell you something else that they do. They support the work with their physical being and with their financial beings. They want to make sure that the work of the Lord can go forward. And they want to make sure that they're a part of a body that is working and serving and doing something to make some kind of influence in the world so that they might be a hand or foot or mouth or finger or whatever it might be of Christ, because we all are the body of Christ. All of us make up that body. Listen, my ear don't do anything without the rest of my body. My feet does nothing without the rest of my body. My body does nothing without the rest of its limbs. It takes all to move forward. And a person who is hungry for righteousness, hungry to drink of the water of life, that person is faithful to God's church. Why? Because he died for it. He laid down his life for all of us that are in here. There's not a single one of us in this building today, or not a single one around us anywhere that I know, that cannot benefit from the love of God. Paul said, who can separate us from the love of God? And he goes into some really deep details on all the evils that can separate us and pull us away. But he says, no, none of those things can do it, because we are in Christ. Let's look at some evidence of those that are hungered and thirsty. I don't know of anything that we can do that is more exhausting or more defeating than doing something that we cannot accomplish up front. There's a scripture that sort of gives us the power to be different, though, isn't it? Those that are hungering for God, those that are thirsty for God, there's some things that they do that they look at the sacrifices that is made. Paul said, all the things that he had given, all the things he'd give up, all the persecution he had, that he just counted that for the glory of God. All the wealth, prestige, accomplishments that he had, no matter what they were, he said they were just waste. In other words, the greatest thing in Paul's life was when he come to know Jesus, and all that other stuff meant nothing. And that's the way it is in our life. No matter what happens in our life, everything that we do, although if it's on our power, we are absolutely failing. Matter of fact, the Bible says that in Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we fade like a leaf. In all of our best efforts, the evidence is this: we have no ability of our own. It's all who we depend on. It's all who we trust. It's all in who we lean upon to do those things for us that we are incapable of doing. Now, people try to fill themselves, to satisfy themselves. And they do it in multiple ways. You can't even name all the ways that they do it. But it always focuses on themselves. Well, if I do this, I can be this. If I have this, I can accomplish this. Well, the truth is this: without Christ, we can do anything. We can't do anything. When our focus is to live our lives for the glory of God, to serve Him with our hearts, it is because there's some evidence there that we've been hungry. There's some evidence there that we have been thirsty. And we realize that our only source is Christ. It's the only thing there is. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. And Christ We'll feel that hunger, and he will quench that thirst. And we'll quit seeking those things of the world. It's those things that are above, those things that are permanent, those things are eternal. Everything we seek on this earth other than Christ is simply temporary. I don't care how great we are, what kind of accomplishments that we have. We can be the richest or wealthiest man in the nation or even in the world. And still, if we don't know him, guess what? It's just temporary. Just temporary. And one day, it would fail. Because whenever we die and have everything that there is to have, we still have nothing. I've never, ever done a funeral, and I've done a lot of them, that there was a money wagon following the hearse. Never seen it. We can't take anything of this world with us, but we can take what God gives us and claim it. And God will meet that need. We can avoid those things that are obviously against God. So, we have to discipline ourselves. Charles Stanley said this morning, I heard him just a few minutes. He said, how many of us talk with the Lord? See, that's the key right here. If we're going to have our hunger filled and our thirst quenched, there has to be some time with God. And when he said that, I said, well, because we don't know how. We don't know how. But the truth is, there is a way that we can hear from God. There's a way we can talk with God. There's a way that we can be what God would have us to be. And that is the Word of God. How many times do we read through something in the Scriptures and not wait? Sort of like praying and getting up and we've not heard from God. Nothing's been laid on our heart. Nothing's been laid on our mind. We've not heard some kind of something that would lead us to something that God would have us to do. See, God will convict us. God will convict us. Are we waiting on the Lord to hear what he says? To lay on our heart those things that need to be adjusted? Those things that need to be put aside? Those things that would cause us to lean on him and not on ourselves. There's four essential things that a Christian will do. Those that are seeking to have their hunger filled and their thirst quenched, the first thing is they put themselves in a place that they can be blessed. I'll tell you this story. You guys, I know, have heard it before. But let me tell it to you again. Because it's a perfect story for right here. In a food line store, in the back of a food line store in another town, I walked in the back. And there was a young man in there who was just really using the Lord's name horribly. And I said, hey, buddy. Don't take the Lord's name like that. He's not done anything to you. Why would you do that? He said, oh, I'm a Christian. I said, you are? He said, yes, I am. I said, where do you go to church at? He said, oh, I don't go to church, but I'm a Christian. And I thought to myself, well, it didn't sound like you were. I said, well, let me ask you something. If you never come to the food line when it was your time to work, what kind of employee would you be? He said, I wouldn't be one. I said, neither can you claim to be his with a heart that is not focused on him. He said, well, you know, I've never thought of it that way. But see, someone who is hungry and thirsting puts themselves in a place to be fed and to drink. They're looking forward to that. And they just do whatever it takes. Someone hungering and thirsting and loving and sharing does not separate themselves from the fellowship. That's like cutting our arms off and saying, I'll do it with my right hand and cut my right arm off. It is the work that we do that blesses those that are around us. There's a story in the scriptures about a man called blind Bartimaeus. I can't blame him. I've been the same way. But the Bible says that he heard that Jesus was coming by. And he began to scream out, Jesus, 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 have mercy on me, Jesus. And the more they told him to quieten down, the louder he got. Until he was literally screaming his name, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. And they said, you need to hush. But you know what Jesus did? He heard. And he stopped what he was doing, and he went to the man. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Was it because that man just happened to be in the spot where he was walking by? No. It's because that man cried out to him, sought him, and wanted to get himself in a position where Jesus could help him. See, sometimes we have to get under the spout where the glory pours out. Oh, I didn't even get an amen on that one. Not even an amen on that one. It is by the preaching of the Word of God. It is by the teaching of the Scriptures that we grow. It is by this way, when we do that, when we get to where God will bless us, it's because we're going to be around His people when He's doing something. And let me tell you something, He's always doing something. When we miss church, we miss the glory that's being poured out. That's just the way it is. We need to be focused on what God has for us. We have to take ourselves and put ourselves in a place where we can also be the glory pourer for someone else. We have to make ourselves available. Listen to me. A Christian should be a Christian 24/7. We should be like Christ 24/7. The Bible said, blessed are they that are hungry and thirsting for righteousness. Can we ever get to the place where we are filled and satisfied? Yes. He fills us and satisfies us every single time. Because a person hungering for righteousness, it's about their inner man. I'm so glad that although this body is fading away, as we get older, we fade away. Matter of fact, when we're born, we begin to fade away. But inside of us, that new man that's been born of the Spirit of God, he is renewed, fresh, and young, powerful, and able every single day. Don't matter if they're 110 or whether they're 25, every day they're renewed. We have a new opportunity every day to be what God would have us to be. Why? Because we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And we place ourselves in a place to receive it. And I don't know of a better place than being around God's people. Then there are those that thirst after righteousness. They spend some time in the book. Bible, basic instruction before leaving earth. And they spend time in there. You know why? Jesus said it this way. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but it is me they're testifying of. In other words, if you want eternal life, it's me. That's what Jesus said. You search the Scripture. You go through it. You examine the Scripture. And what you'll find from Genesis to Revelation is Jesus. Lay our hands on that book and learn of Him. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is the Awana motto, if you would. It's the verse. It should be the verse of every single believer, is that I will study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that's not ashamed. We get ashamed when we're not full of Him. We get ashamed when we're full of ourselves. We get ashamed when we're not searching for righteousness. That's when we get ashamed. But when we study the Word of God, it puts something into our lives. And then, a person seeking righteousness, that's hungering and thirsting, let's spend some time in prayer. That's just all there is to it. You remember, now listen to this. Daniel. You remember about Daniel, poor old Daniel? They said that they could only pray to the king. And a friend of that said they've signed those orders. Instead of running, hiding, and crying, here's what Daniel done. The Bible says he went right back to his house, that whose window faced Jerusalem. Remember, they're in bondage in Babylon. Went to this house who had a window facing Jerusalem, and he prayed. Three times a day, he prayed, knowing that they were going to accuse him of praying to another god other than the king when he done it. He was not afraid of what the consequences would be. He was willing to pay whatever price. You know why? Because he believed the Lord. He believed what God had promised. When we get to that point, when we really believe the promises of God, we'll be bold and stand up and do righteousness. That's what we'll do. We will meet this world head on, and we will speak the truth of God, and we will love the people, and we will serve God by serving others, no matter who, where, or what the circumstances are. Why? Because that's our God. He looked at me, sorry as I could be, in debt in sin, wickedness, evil thinking heart. And he looked down to here and he called my name, just like he did you. I'm no different. I don't have something special other than Jesus. But there are those in the Scripture. You remember Abraham? Can you imagine God telling you to go and take your son and sacrifice him to the Lord? I can't. When I think about it, I think, God, what in the world were you thinking about? Why would you ask such a thing of a man? But what did the Bible say about Abraham? We all know the story. He went out and laid his son on the altar, and he pulled that knife back to put it through his heart, and he was stopped. But the Bible says that Abraham believed God, although God had told him that the nations would be blessed from him to through his son as well. The Bible says that Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead, even if he died. Now listen, you know why he believed that? Because he believed God. And I'm not saying, listen, don't do what God's not told you to do. But see, God knew Abraham believed. And he needed us to see what faithfulness is. And Abraham believed that God would raise his son up from the dead because God had promised that he would bless this world through him. Now that's knowledge. That's understanding. But he spent time in prayer. Every morning, get up and go out and pray. Every morning. Jesus spent so much time in prayer. It's unbelievable. He would sometimes pray all night long and still go about his business during the day. Labor in prayer. I remember just before he died, he asked his disciples, those three disciples, said, "Will you guys pray with me?" So they got down to pray, and Jesus went on a little further. And they slept, and Jesus prayed. See, prayer strengthens us. We've got about as much strength as we do time in prayer. That's what strengthens us right there. We need to pray. We need to read. We need to meditate. And meditation is just something focusing on the Lord. And the last thing is this. Person who seeks after righteousness knows they have no strength in themselves. They recognize that they are sinners. You know, I always thought that I was pretty good. I thought I was as good as anybody else, and I was. I think about those guys down the road, you know, and I think how wicked and evil they were, and I think, well, you know, old son. So I remember us having a guy that was just, he was just so wicked. It was just unbelievable. And I thought to myself, well, I know I'm as good as he is. And I was right. I was as good as he was because I had no righteousness and he had no righteousness. I had nothing of any merit of myself. But see, those who hunger after God, we are filled with the Spirit of God. Every single one of us. When by faith we believe, we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that Spirit who is God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of love, whatever you want to call him, the Holy Ghost of God, takes up abode in every single one who believe. And he leads them to truth, to righteousness, understanding. He teaches them. And what we learn more than anything else is the only thing that makes me worthy of heaven is not being a Baptist. It's being a child of God, transformed by the Spirit of God, baptized into Christ, hidden in him and him in God. And that's a good place to be, isn't it? I don't know. We used to play hide and seek. Now, we could get found hide and seeking. But now let me tell you something. If you've been immersed in Christ, and Christ is immersed in God, let me tell you something. The devil can't get to you. You know why? He can't find you. He can't find you. Praise God that those that are thirsty and hungry for righteousness, they will be filled. They will be filled. I pray that we would seek those things that fills us, those things that satisfies that inner man, which is only Christ. See, whenever we fail, whenever Adam fell in the garden, that inner man died. And now, in every one of us, until the Spirit of God comes and quickens that inner man, makes him alive, we have no opportunity of heaven. But what a blessing it is when he opens our eyes and we see, opens up our heart and we receive the blessings of God. For we will be filled. How about you this morning? Let's examine ourselves and say, what am I searching for in life? Am I really searching to be like Christ? Or is my focus really on something else? See, in this world we live in, we can be successful in this world and still have our eyes focused on him. Because he'll bless those who seek him. He will bless those that serve him. He will bless those eternally with life. This morning, if you're searching for something else, can I challenge you this morning to seek him. Did you know the Bible says that if we seek him with all of our heart, we'll find him? All we got to do is desire him. And that desire, you know where it comes from? It don't come from me. It don't come because I've stood up here and carried on about this righteousness stuff. It comes because God takes something, the foolishness of preaching, and he opens the eyes and the ears of that individual who will believe. What a blessing that is. This morning, will you believe? Will you trust him? Will you honor him by faith? If you do not know him and you'd like to talk with me after the service, you can come. I'll be right down here and you can speak with me. And we will tell you what Scripture says about faith. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the privilege that we've had today of standing here in order that we might be able to preach the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for filling my mind, for leading me and guiding me this morning, for using me, Lord, as a mouthpiece. Truly how we have to long for righteousness, hunger for it, thirst for it, and may we find the bread of life and the water of life. And may through that we serve you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Bless this day. Bless your people in a very unique way. And again, I pray, Lord, if there's one here that's not certain